Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you so much for checking out another brand new episode of the show. Today's features returning guest, my buddy Jeremy Reedy of Igor Death. He's got a brand new project. We stopped, actually I caught up with him in his new bus that he's traveling around the country in, he turned into his home, and so it was cool. We sat there and we recorded this episode right there in his new home, and talked all about the new EP that he put together, and I had a lot of fun. Hope you enjoy this one. I do want to remind you, as always, Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler, located here in St. Louis, Missouri, over in the Maplewood area off of Manchester. Swing by the shop or shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase of all your favorite beard oils, your beard balms, junk powder, or beard batter, or any of their fine, wonderful grooming products. During the hot summer months, it may be tempting to shave, but did you know that having a beard can keep you cooler longer in the hot summer heat? Beards provide protection from UV rays and keep sweat off your face to keep you cooler longer. Just make sure to keep your beard clean with Roughneck's house-made beard bar. All natural soap with milled oats and African black soap cleanses amazingly without stripping away your natural oils. And if you do decide to shave it off, do it with American Rambler's amazing pre-shave oils and Miracle Tonic Aftershave. Either way, they've got you covered. Again, shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Use that code RPP15. It's a great way to keep this show going, help support Rock Paper Podcast and support local business. So thank you, everybody, for doing so. Also, if you'd like to continue to support this show, a great way to do that would be visiting the merch store. Got a nice store set up there with By Jack that has a bunch of t-shirts, all kinds of different colors and sizes. We got some hats and tank tops. So visit buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast today. And I appreciate anybody that's already done so. It's really cool seeing all those little Shaney shirts out there and people rocking their new hats. So thank you, everybody. A big show coming up, Rock Paper Podcast Singer Songwriter Storytelling Showcase happening August 21st at the Focal Point in Maplewood. Bringing along my buddy Andy Sitto from Denver, Colorado, and of St. Louis's own Karen Choi, Nick Gussman, and Anthony J. Russo. It's $11 tickets in advance, $16 at the door. And you can get those today at thefocalpoint.org. And I would love to see you there. It's going to be an incredible evening of four writers sitting on stools, sharing the stories behind all of their favorite songs. And it's going to be an intimate listening room experience over there. So join us at the Focal Point, August 21st. And if you need me, of course, you can find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the email at rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com. Any of the socials, whatever it is, I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear what you think of Igor Death's new EP. And with all that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy this brand new episode with Igor Death.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Igor Death, and we're on Rock Paper Podcast with Shane.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Scissors beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beat scissors, Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
The Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with my buddy Jeremy Reedy. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Glad to be here.
This is been a long time, man.
It has been a long time.
We I don't remember what the dates, but you've appeared on this show with Old Souls Revival.
Mm-hmm. Twice.
And, yeah, we had a whole lot of fun hanging with all those guys. Mm-hmm. And but this one's gonna be a little different because just you and me.
True.
And we got a brand new project to talk about.
Yeah.
We are currently sitting in a white van in the middle of Tower Grove Park. Just two dudes hanging out. Nothing to see here.
It's not weird. Not weird at all. Not weird at all. Unmarked.
Yeah. But no, man, this is super cool because, like, just last night you had your big going away party. Mm-hmm. Over Venice, and you, you're getting ready to hit the open road, huh?
Yep. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Even going to Chicago first. Family's doing a little get together there, kind of using that as a little kickoff to go up to Michigan. And then the end goal is, well, kind of end goal is to make it to Washington State in September. So kind of take all of July and August to mosey my way out to Washington State.
Yeah.
And hug the Canadian border.
There you go.
But I'm not allowed in because I don't have a passport.
My brain is just full of movie quotes and song lyrics, pretty much. Like, that's just all that's goes through my mind. But so I was thinking of Super Troopers when he's like, "Were you just going across the border for some French fries and gravy?"
Yes.
Yeah, man. Well, that's I mean, I don't know. I think that's super cool. That getting out there and getting to see a little bit of the world and traveling and
trying.
But what kind of? I mean, obviously this. This van was going to be your home on wheels and mm-hmm. And stuff while you're traveling around and things. But where'd all this kind of start, man? Like, I know we haven't really, we keep up a little bit, but we haven't really got to talk but about this whole journey. But so it was kind of when I read that there was a going away party, I was like, what's going on, man? Yeah. Like, so I thought that's what would be cool to sit and talk today and about all this. So
yeah. So a lot of it came with the pandemic changing a bunch of stuff for everybody.
Yeah.
Things got a little hard being alone, kind of went through a lot the year prior, and I cleaned up. I got sober. I've been sober for a year and almost 2 months.
Yeah, man, great.
And kind of after that, I realized needed something different, so I went searching. I kind of had this idea for a while, but never could, like, fully sit down and realize it, and all that stuff kind of came to fruition. I was looking for a van for a few months. I found one in Jefferson City, which was wild, because everywhere, all the other ones were out in, like, Ohio and, like, Virginia and, like, places like that. And I was like, man, that's going to be a trip to try to, you know, like, mid-pandemic, try to drive really far and find a van and make sure it's okay and then drive it back kind of thing. And, but found this in Jefferson City, went, looked at it. It was kind of a little beat up on the inside, but luckily I covered all the walls, so I didn't have to I don't have to look at any of it.
Right.
Brought it home, and then I started working on it every day for 6 months. I think almost 6 months to the day, which was pretty wild, which really helped with the sobriety and all of those things and
sure.
like idle hands kind right. of thing. And,
That's what I mean, not, you know, take away from your your story, but I feel like that a lot too for myself, not necessarily, you know, for sobriety reasons, but I the podcast does that for me a lot too. Like, you know, for like many of us, like, I think if I'm alone in my thoughts, it can get kind of be a dark place sometimes.
Yeah.
And so for me, to constantly be, working something, you know, whether it's I'm going out recording and talking to my friends and stuff, or I'm editing the show and things, it's constantly keeping my mind active and moving and doing something to, you know, instead of just sitting there. So
true. 100%. Right. Yeah. It's such a tricky thing trying to keep busy, but in like what, like for me, I always kept busy by going out to what was always a bar to see shows and hang out, and which always meant drinking, and then like kind of spiraling into things. And then pandemic kind of changed that a little bit, where it was can't go out to see shows, can't go out to the bar. But yeah, I like having something to kind of keep you busy, and, and something in, for me, like that was, you know, productive.
Sure.
And then the nice thing is now I have a weird home to live out of and go out on the road and see kind of what happens. And
so are you now on this like journey, are you planning to, play a bunch of music, or is it more like just strictly the traveling part of it? Like,
I would love for the music to be a part of it. I kind of hadn't had it as a, like it was a plan, but I don't have anything planned out, if that makes sense. But with kind of playing the show last night, gave me a little bit of confidence to be able to maybe go and do that. Managed to pull off about an hour and a half of music, which was wild, because that was the first time I have, or it's the second time I've ever played in front of people. I played an open mic a month and a half ago, and then it was Dana Anderson's open mic who opened last night, and he was the only well, there was a handful of other people there, but he was the only person to like see me play prior to the show. So kind of wild.
Yeah, man.
Kind of wild.
I was kind of telling you off mic there. I'm a little envious, like, I just think it's super cool what you're doing again, just hitting the road and getting to see the world. Like, cause there's I'd love to do a lot more of that, you know, it's like, and, I finally, this year we're supposed to head West Coast. That's my first time that way. We're supposed to go to a wedding in California.
Awesome.
Like Ventura area or something. And so, I've never been out. I've never flown on a plane commercially. I've been like a little 8-seater personal plane. One of my dad's friends had a pilot's license. And so that's probably
I was going to say, I think you're going to be okay on a commercial flight. I feel like the smaller the plane, the kind of scarier it gets.
I bet that was, I'm sure probably that was scarier than getting in a commercial flight. But, so I'm kind of checking a couple of the boxes this year.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, Chicago and Florida and, you know, gone north and south a little bit, but it's my first time going out west, and like
awesome.
But just I think it's gonna be cool, man, just to get out there and see a little bit of what else is out there, and never know what's gonna happen, man. So
dude, there's a lot, there's so much. I went to Utah a few years ago and was like, oh, this exists.
Yeah.
Like what feels like a whole nother like world outside of like the like woodenness of the Midwest kind of thing, which is gorgeous and beautiful.
And St. Louis is pretty much, that's been home for a long time, right?
Yeah, pretty much since I was a kid. Right. So
yeah, I'm same thing, man. It's like there's a lot like I've only seen in magazines and books and stuff.
True.
And so it's like, you know, it would be really neat to get out there and see it in person.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
So is there anything in particular in Seattle or Washington State you said that you're
So the original bass player for Old Souls, Dustin Rademacher, lives out there.
Okay.
And I've been telling him every year since he moved out there that I was going to go see him, and I have yet to get that far. So
yeah.
I'm going to do it.
You're
I'm
man
gonna
of your do word. It.
Dustin, I'm going to be there. I don't know when, but I'll be there.
Yeah, man.
Oh.
So how'd the party go last night? I didn't make it. I unfortunately had concert tickets to another show, and I was bummed when it popped up that it was the same night and everything. And yeah.
It went swimmingly.
Yeah.
So much. I was so nervous. I kept running around before I was gonna play. I had so much like pent up energy, and I was just like, okay, boom, 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 running around. But I was very, very fortunate to have an amazing band with Josiah Joyce, Alex Sinclair, Dan Ficicelli, Danny Blaze from Brother Lee. Ryan Torpia played trumpet on a few tunes. Dana Anderson came up and sang a song with me. And Josh Eaker from Brother Lee came up and sang a song. And just like having that group of people.
Yeah.
Just.
That's an all-star cast.
It was. And, like, it's just such a comfy bed to be able to, like, lie down in. You're yeah. just like, oh, okay, here we go. All right. All right. Cool. All right. It was so fun. And I got a bunch of people came out, and it was amazing to kind of see everybody. And
yeah.
The nerves kind of took over a little bit and kind of was hard to really dive into like how awesome it was. And I woke up this morning being like, holy crap, that was
that happened.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I didn't have any idea like what to expect at all from you, like just as far as like, you know, this new project we're going to talk about here in a bit, but
yeah,
you know, but then like seeing pictures from last night and you holding guitar and stuff and like, you know, I've only seen you behind a kit. So like, you know,
Same. And
then I've never heard you sing. And then now here, you know, on this record, you sang and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there was a lot, you know, new stuff. So I was like, I mean, it's always super cool to me. I've said super cool probably 10 times already. I feel like, I don't know why I keep saying
that's
that.
That's all right.
But it is. I feel like, you know, it's just exciting to me to see like you in a different light. You know, it's like, I've only known you as a drummer and stuff. And so like, and not that that's all you do, but that's the thing. It's like, it's cool. Very nice to see. People, you know, expand that. So, like, I don't know. I just, even last night. So, me, I went to Andy Frasco show last night. And he's jamming with his band. And, you know, Andy does organ. And he's got his bass and sax player and guitar player and drummer. And then at one point in the show, he goes, okay, everybody switch instruments.
Damn.
And so, Andy went to the drum kit. His drummer came up to lead guitar. His guitar player, or... What, the only one that didn't was Ernie put a saxophone down. Nobody played saxophone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like two of them played organ together.
Gotcha. That's probably like the right move.
Yeah,
like
right,
COVID
yeah.
wasn't.
Yeah,
it,
sure.
It's still like still floating in the air. We might not want
to
share saxophones.
Yeah, sure. But that's the thing. Like, so they all switched, and they all sounded incredible playing those instruments.
Crazy.
And then they go, everybody switch again, and they all did it again, and like
wow,
and they like the drummer played guitar, lead guitar, and he played like this really like nasty blues riff, and like and started singing and stuff, and I was like, man, like it was, you know, real gritty bluesy stuff, and it sounded real cool, and but like it was fun that these guys, you know. All of them could be lead singers in the band. Mm-hmm. All of them could be, you know, guitar, drum, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're all very multi-talented people and stuff. So
it's wild.
I just, I always love that kind of stuff. Like, so
that's cool. It's a different vibe to kind of move around like that.
Right.
I've always like fiddled with other instruments, but I kind of took to guitar, I think, because it's a little more portable. But that's it's definitely an interesting thing to be like, well, I've always been a drummer.
Right.
It's always been the thing, and to try to take that step. But I don't think I could have left St. Louis without having just done it. I think I would have, it would have been a regret of mine of like, okay, I didn't put out any music I've wanted to and so on and so forth, but just kind of something I felt like I had to do, yeah, just in a weird way.
Yeah, man. Well, along with the going away party last night, that was the EP release party for Igor Death, which is the new project that we've been referring to, and now three track EP currently available on Bandcamp, and coming soon to all the rest of your streaming platforms.
Hopefully, very soon. Yeah, depending on how long those websites decide to take.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of these tunes, and start with probably my, I'll start with my favorite, because I really this was a ton of fun, but Crater.
Okay.
I liked it's just a feel good kind of rock and roll tune.
Yeah.
But the part that really makes me smile is when you yell "Hit it, Josiah."
Yes.
And because it just it took me back to, I think of like I used to years ago I saw Poison with Kiss, and Bret Michaels yelled "Play it, CC," like 10 times that night and stuff, and like, so that's what I like, this is way better than "Play it, CC," but so that's what took me back to that. And
that was definitely a trip. I was sitting in the basement by myself just screaming into a microphone, and it was just kind of a spur of the moment thing, and I was really hesitant. I was like, I don't know, is it too weird or too out of the box? And I showed it to Josiah, and he was like, "No, we have to leave that. Right. We have to leave that." And I was like, "Okay, all right, we're gonna do it."
Yeah, I love it, man. It was like. And that's the thing too. Like, I feel like maybe some other people probably would have been like, no, that's, you know, like you're saying, had those thoughts and decided to cut it. But mm-hmm. I think it's perfect the way it is like this, man. It's like, so.
Ended up being a lot. I think it like hits it right on the money where you're just like, okay, here comes a ripping guitar solo. Yeah. By Josiah.
Yeah. He's a bad dude.
Bad dude. Yeah. Bad dude. He was a huge, huge help and big part of this, kind of the whole thing. Like, just giving me the, like, oomph to go and do, make an EP, play a show, put on this craziness. And he was very, very nice and sat down with me and worked through all these tunes and was like, this is good. Careful, don't do this, blah blah blah, like all these things, like help produce the whole record and added some funky chords and all the things, you know, that I don't know. Guitar, so still learning.
So you wrote all these lyrics,
all the kind of general music, and then Josiah, him and I sat down and we kind of spiced up Crater and Oh Maria, and Cheyenne's kind of pretty straight ahead, just ballad kind of tune. So I don't think a ton was done on that except for just trying to like get a good chorus. There was a pretty good chorus, and then him and I sat and we were like spitballing back and forth and trying to come up with a better, something that hit a little stronger. And I was driving, I was actually driving out to O'Fallon, Illinois, to, I'm blanking on the name of the there's a little bar club out there, but Jacob Baxter was playing, and I was like driving and like looking at the lines and the on the road, and I was like, okay, Google, what you know, what are these called or whatever, and that says like broken lines, and I was like, perfect, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
So
is this your first really like take on songwriting and stuff, I mean, I guess for lyrics and stuff, or are you did you contribute to lyrics with Old Souls or anything else? Or
not that I can think of. I know that Neil and I sat down years and years ago and talked a little bit about a tune that he was working on, but just kind of, I think he was just like bouncing ideas off of me. But yeah, this is kind of the first take. Kind of been writing tunes for a little while, but never kind of got the like gumption to like go 100% for it, kind of thing.
Yeah, man. Not really what your singing voice might sound like, but I thought it sounded good, man. It was fun to hear something completely different, not really knowing when I hit record what it might sound like. But I'm not, obviously we kind of had a night, maybe a slight idea, just being that I know what your, a little bit of your taste and stuff. So, but it was fun to hear variety coming through too, like you're saying, in even just these three songs, you do have kind of this more rock and roll tune, but and then like kind of stripping it down to kind of a more that ballad and stuff, like you said. So so let's talk about Oh Maria, right? Cheyenne's
the ballad.
Yeah, ballad. Yeah, sorry. I'm bad about like sometimes like paying attention to what the name is. Like sometimes I'll just hit play and listen.
100%. 100%.
I really liked on Cheyenne where especially it's pretty mellow, and then Ryan adding some trumpet in there and stuff, and but I love like just kind of like the fade out, like on and where you're like repeating miles and miles and miles, and I just kind of like, and like it was a cool like the way to end it, just as like the road goes on forever, kind of thing. You know,
that was a Josiah Joyce. He was like, you have to do this. He was like, you like it, like creates this like imagery of exactly what you know what you're saying, like just like kind of driving and driving and driving and driving.
Yeah, and which I, you know, is very appropriate to the whole story that you just shared at the beginning. You know? It's like we're getting ready to hit the road and stuff. So it's like, just the traveling man story and stuff. So like that, like I felt like it was really it was cool. So yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. So anything, any stories? You said that one mainly kind of came to life just from that night going to see Jacob.
So the tune is kind of about a bunch of trips that I've taken in the past and kind of like trying to like kind of replay them in my head and like, you know, like what happened and, you know, just trying to remember some mm-hmm. things. And, but the chorus kind of came back or came from that trip where I'm like, just kind of like driving. It was about a half an hour drive from where I was. And, I'm like driving on the highway and I'm like, you know, staring at the lines, like going by. And I was like, do these have like a name?
Right.
But yeah, the big thing, just trying to put into words just some trips that I had to try to kind of remember or internalize them a little bit more, bring them back to the forefront of the mind.
Getting colder on this northern stretch of Highway 81. After all that we said, it's a steep grade and I'm about to use that runaway lane to get some sense of control. Take the driver's seat so we can go down on that unpaved road. I'll take you to the monument. We'll travel out west to find less light and catch a glimpse of stars. We made it 3 miles down. All this time I find myself broken lines, crossing miles and miles and miles and miles. Broken lines, crossing miles and miles. Get on a plane and be afraid. Travel too far. All this time I find myself moving on, moving on past welcome signs when we arrive. Broken lines crossing miles and miles and miles and miles. Broken lines crossing miles.
I guess, was that like stuff of family and thing, I guess, or like when you were in your youth and are like a
with my ex partner,
okay,
kind of some things.
Sure, I don't get to do, like I said, a ton of that, you know, trips or whatever and different, but just like we as a family years ago, when my parents were together and stuff. Like, you know, we go to the lake a lot, and you know, all the holidays kind of thing. It was like a hit the Lake of the Ozarks or Table Rock or mm-hmm. Norfolk or something like that, and like some of these southern Missouri lakes, and I don't know, some of those were, you know, some of the best times as a kid for sure for me. And it's like, it's fun to reminisce on some of the good times and True. Things and remember those moments, but because you know, it's been way different since then, so
true.
Yeah, true. But it's nice to, you know, remember some of those times, and especially something, you know, just whatever randomly will trigger memories, and it's just cool to like, oh yeah, man, that was a good time.
Yeah,
like,
you know, 100%.
But yeah, that's it's nice that you were able to put it all into a song, and now it's for everybody to share
out in the world.
Yeah, man,
so strange.
Yeah,
so strange.
We're getting check out. Is it just Igor Death?
Mm-hmm. The EP is called Mint.
Yeah, and that's Igor Death .bandcamp.com.
I think so. Yeah.
Which I was kind of laughing on the way over. I don't know if you ever watched, but Young Frankenstein.
I don't think I have.
No,
right? That's it's a movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Mel Brooks classic with Gene Wilder.
Oh, okay. No, I was thinking of something else. I know what that is as well. But I have not seen that as well.
There's a classic scene, of course, where Dr. Frankenstein,
mm-hmm.
company, and they meet, and it's Frederick Frankenstein, and he meets Igor, and he goes, you must be Dr. Frankenstein. He goes, it's Frankenstein. And he goes, well, do you say Frederick Frankenstein? And he goes, no, it's Frederick. And he goes, so it's Frederick Frankenstein and Frankenstein. Or what? Anyway, like, so it's like, he goes, well, he's like, are you, you're Igor. And he goes, no, it's Igor. And he goes, what? I don't know. So it's like this whole thing, like, it makes me laugh so hard. So that's what the whole, when I was driving over, I was like, is it Igor or Igor?
Igor.
Oh, yeah. So I was, sometimes I make myself laugh, and it's just,
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what, I like this project a lot. Like, is this something you plan to continue? I mean, or is it like,
I think probably on the road, try to continue writing, maybe try to do a little bit more next time.
Yeah.
I came to Dan, Josiah, and Alex, and I was like, I have these three tunes. I'm, you know, leaving town soon. Can we do it? Can we like make a record in 2 months, like roughly maybe three? We did. We recorded, and mixed and mastered three songs in 2 months. And
you said I was with Ryan at Bird Cloud?
Yeah, Ryan Watson at Bird Cloud. He killed it, knocked out of the park, and he was so nice, and I felt so bad. I was like, the show's next week. Can you get this done? And he did, and he knocked it out of the park. I felt so bad. I was like, I shouldn't do this. This is stuff you should not do to people who are like, can you like do this really quickly?
Yeah. So obviously you've been in the studio with Old Souls and other projects over the years and things, but like, is there, what was like the comparison to, you know, being in a band doing it and being now like the kind of front man, you know, like the leader of this project and stuff, compared to doing it, like, was there anything, any differences you noticed, or anything that kind of stuck out?
It was interesting. So we did it at Dan's house, and so Dan played bass, Josie was playing guitar, and I was playing drums as well. So like, while we were kind of going through stuff and like demoing a few things out, I was sitting there and like playing drums and trying to sing at the same time. And I've done that kind of, you know, just like headphones in and just singing, but never in like a real capacity where it like mattered, like get the words right, sure, don't mess up the form, all these things, plus focusing on playing the drums. Yeah. And that was an interesting thing. But I know that, like, luckily with being comfortable to playing the drums, I know the little nuances of like, okay, if I do this, it'll like cue the band to move to the next section or do this or drop down or whatever it may be. And I know like playing guitar and singing has been a harder part of that, like just different, and don't quite know all the little nuances of how to do that, I guess. Haven't had enough experience with like, okay, if I play like the snare drum like this, everybody like ears will perk up and they'll listen, you know, we'll go this direction. But with the guitar, I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, right. Like, don't quite know how to move it. But, so that was an interesting thing in the studio, like still having a little bit of that control with the drums where I'm like, okay, if I do this, they'll like recognize that, okay, we're supposed to move this way or that way. But
yeah, I was kind of wondering, as like you were saying, I was wondering if you were doing like the Phil Collins, Don Henley, you know, leading the band and playing drums and singing and stuff, like kind of, that stuff blows my mind. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how those guys do that stuff. Like,
I thought about it a bunch. I think, like, last night, I think if we would have played maybe a tune or if we would have done, like, a short set, like, maybe played the EP, I might have done it that way. But we were playing a bit longer, and I kind of, I had a handful of acoustic tunes, like some covers that Garrett Ranji played with me. And I kind of was like, well, I'm going to be playing guitar. Let's just play guitar the whole time. And then obviously if I'm on the road, I'm not going to, Danny Blaze isn't going to be like, hey, Danny, can you make it to, you know, I don't know, drive 300 miles and we'll play this game. Right. So,
though Danny's the type of guy, he probably would do it for
100%.
He'd do it for you.
100% would drive.
Yeah. He's a big sweetie.
Oh, he is. Yep. Such a sweetie.
All those, everybody that you mentioned, like, I mean, really great people. And that's what, and they're incredibly talented artists. So, that's what I love about the city, man. There's so many people I've met, through networking through the town, and like everybody just super cool. Like,
yeah,
I will up, but there it is again.
It's gonna be. I keep saying 100%. Yeah. So we're like right on the same page.
It's gonna be like a drinking game, I guess. Now at this point, so. So. We got one more tune from this EP again, and this is a song called "Oh Maria." And what do you care to add around "Oh Maria"? Anything come to mind about this particular track?
It is significantly different than I was like. So I had written it as an acoustic, all these tunes as acoustic tunes, and I went to Josiah and I was like, here's what I was like, I have acoustic tunes. I was like, they can be acoustic tunes. I kind of want them to be more band tunes. And we were trying so hard with this one to figure out what the vibe was. And I kind of had this like, not quite mathy sound, but a little bit more like disjointed feeling to it, where I was like, okay, maybe it's like, oh, I'm blanking on the name of the artist. But kind of like a darker vibe, but like a little bit more rhythmic heavy. And it still is rhythmic heavy. But then we were like, it kind of wasn't working. And Josiah's like, has a few little tricks. And one of them was like, let's just play it like 50 BPM faster. And like, it was real awkward and real weird because like I couldn't sing fast enough and all of these things. But then we kind of like came up with this lick, this like da 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 da, and we slowed it back down to where I could actually get the words out in the right amount of time, and it came out to this cool kind of vibe where it kind of like hard hitting and just kind of like almost dancier, and kind of a different vibe than I kind of had in my head, but I like super stoked to where it came out, almost like Vampire Weekend-y esque vibe.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know that all the things I put you through would lead you to push me a little harder than most. Oh, I don't understand. I read the message to you saying I love you, but it was from another man. You told me the dreams will happen when you're old. 10 years waiting and I can't stand alone. I won't be the one who brings you home. Oh, Maria, did you always know? Could you see it in my eyes when I would talk to demons, promising to put on a show? Oh, Maria, I'm not the one. I can't get all these thoughts out of my head, and I can't help you create a son. You told me the dreams will happen when you're old. 10 years waiting and I can't stand alone. Now I won't be the one who brings you home. You're always looking for someone that you know.
This was another good tune, man, for sure.
Thank you.
I like that little opening riff, like you're saying, like that kind of I don't know, it's different, but my mind kind of went to like a Bo Diddley
or
something like that.
Yeah.
Like you know, I like a lot of his stuff, and I didn't really thought much about him until the other night. Nick Gussman covered Hey Mona.
Oh, right on.
And that was so it was fun to hear that song and stuff.
That's awesome. He's one of a kind.
Yeah.
Absolute one of a kind. I've gotten the pleasure to, pleasure is maybe not the greatest word, to work with him, do it, like installing Windows with him. Just very hot work.
Yeah. Right.
But getting to hang out with him has been super, super fun. He's also an absolute sweetheart.
Yeah.
Absolute sweetheart.
Yeah, man.
And a banging songwriter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Said it many times, but he's probably one of my favorite all time, like,
same.
You know, like not St. Louis, but
same.
Ever, like, and I'm so excited to hear what else he's got coming up with the new record.
I've been hoping since I have befriended most of the people in the band, I was like, maybe I'll get a chance to like hear some of it, and I have not gotten a chance to hear some of this. So if you're listening, Nick, let me hear it.
It's all top secret.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that I got Nick on a show in August. I'm really excited about. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. Well, I've been going around asking some fun questions, Jeremy.
Okay.
And these, I want to get your take on some of these. All right. So, what
is it like rapid fire?
I mean, not really.
All right.
What would be a dream duet or collaboration that you would love to see for yourself in this Igor Death?
In the project. Ooh, interesting.
Is there anything come to mind?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a really tough question. Throwing hardballs. Awkward silence. I don't know if the project has been around long enough to have thought about it.
You're right. Well, it's a dream. I mean, you can always, but I think, I don't know, I always, I think it would be interesting to, you know, like I was saying, a duet, a proper duet, like hear you with a female vocal or something like that. Like, I just think that would be interesting to see how that would, how that changes.
That would be a cool one. I did, female vocal, like, Regina Spektor is a big influence of mine. I love her like ability to be like serious and like kind of throw in like quirkiness to it. And I mean, she's a phenomenal singer and piano player and instrumentalist in general. That would be a very fun one. That'd be actually an amazing one.
Yeah.
I found the answer.
Yeah, man. Well, let's see. I'll give her a call and see if she's available. What's a movie or TV show you wish you were in? Is there
I don't know why Game of Thrones came to mind. That was the first thing that hit my head.
Yeah.
But that would be the worst one.
Right.
You'd probably die. That would be like the move.
It comes up a lot. Like people will say like Breaking Bad or something. Like, these are great shows. I don't know that I'd ever want to live in that world where they take place. Like, but so something to think about. But yeah,
I Futurama.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. Love Futurama. And it'd be wild to live in the 3,000.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say it. It feels uncomfortable to say.
Yeah, that would be a great show, man, for sure. It's so funny.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. What's your strangest fear? Is there anything, or maybe just even a fear? Like, is there?
I hate heights.
Heights, yeah.
Yeah, and not like big heights. Big heights, it's weird, but like small heights. Like, I had to put there's solar panels on top of the. I hated it.
Yeah.
It's like 6 feet to the ground. Maybe more than 6 feet, but. Hated it every moment of it. I'm like sitting on top of the van and I'm just like terrified the whole time, and I had to cut the holes for the fans as well. Also terrifying.
I don't know, there's some of that, like even just climbing a ladder sometimes, you know. Of course, you know and it's not necessarily the heights, it's the falling part.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I don't want to do that. So.
No.
But I've done some stuff like at work, like where we have like lifts to get into the top, the rafters of the gym and stuff and up there.
Gosh.
So those are, you know, take me up like whatever, 50 feet or whatever it is. And of course, sometimes it's like starting to sway and stuff and and that's always a little nerve wracking, but
I would not like that.
Yeah.
I would not like that at all.
It's like, I don't know. Some of that's like, I've been up in like the Sears Tower stuff or whatever, or Willis Tower now, and like done that walkout thing.
Don't like it.
Yeah.
Don't like it. Right. Don't like it.
It
took so much for me to take that step out.
Yeah.
And I was like, just like holding my stomach, I was like, no.
Yeah. It's weird, man, like, because everything, it's going against everything in your body telling you, like, hey, this is you're not supposed to be doing this.
No.
Like,
no, and there is a reason why you're not supposed to be doing stuff like that,
right? But I've never really, like, there's a lot of that kind of like skydiving or any of that kind of stuff. I've never done any of that yet or anything, but
I want to. I want to skydive.
I think
it's terrified of it, but
I think it'd be a rush though. Like, But that whole first step out, like, somebody's just going to have to push me or something like so.
Yep, and be like, one, two.
Yeah, right. Because it's really, you know, again, goes against every instinct to jump out of a plane. And, like, so, Manaya, I'm with you. Maybe we can do that together.
That'd be fun. Yeah. That'd be so much fun. Yeah.
That would be, that's our next podcast right there. We'll just
do it while skydiving. Yeah. Just gonna be screaming the whole way down. At least at my end, I know, right. I would probably scream the whole way down. Yeah. The guy attached or girl attached to my back will just be like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah,
they'll probably be used to it, but
yeah, it'd just be funny. Like you're just like you can't even scream. You're like, you
know, yes, like
face wide open. Yeah, man. What, all right. We have an Igor Death biopic. And then, who would you like to see cast to play Jeremy in the movie version? Anybody ever say you look like anybody?
I've gotten, I don't know his name, but the one of the Merry Pippin from The Hobbit. I'm blanking on which one it was, but I think it. Right? Is it Pippin? Now I'm like blanking. People are gonna be like The Hobbit. There's one of those guys that I've gotten compared to.
Okay,
but I can't think of anybody that I would. Anybody else that I would be thinking to play to be interesting?
Yeah. Well, we got time. We got some time to figure that one out.
Infinite amount of time.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that stuff's funny to think about.
100%.
Yeah.
There it is again.
Yep. Drink two.
Yes.
All right, this one came up a while back. Dave Grohl was on Stern and talked about going to Paul McCartney's and hanging out for the night, having pizza with him, and Taylor Swift was there, and they all, like, jammed on the piano, and I don't know, sounded like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But what would be a dream dinner for you? Who, if you could invite... a few people over, three or four people or something, maybe, to come over for the night and hang out and have a conversation and stuff. Who might you, like to include on that list?
Dave Grohl would be a cool one.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl would definitely be a cool one. Scott Hutchinson from Frightened Rabbit would be super cool. He's always been an inspiration as a songwriter. That would be a, to be able to pick his brain would be very, very cool.
Yeah.
Regina Spektor would be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Trying to think of a drummer that seems like appropriate. I mean, I already got Dave Grohl.
Sure. But, the other night he co-hosted a Tonight Show with Jimmy.
Oh, Fallon, cool.
And he came out and Jimmy's like, "Oh man, thank you so much for doing this." And he's like, Dave says, "Yeah, this is like the coolest thing that's happened to me today." and Jimmy's like, "Really?" And he's like, "No, dude, I was in Nirvana."
Yeah.
Yeah. that's such a great line. Like, I was in Nirvana.
So, And the Foo Fighters. Right. I mean, that's like, I mean,
yeah.
I just don't know how you like trip over two pots of gold like that.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable for sure.
I mean, I know the first one helped the second one, but I mean, there's plenty of like famous people who have not continued to be as successful as Dave Grohl. It just baffles me.
Yeah, they just sold out Madison Square Garden.
I saw some of that. I was like, that is crazy.
Yeah. I imagine that was a fun night. I want to see, they're coming to St. Louis August 3rd, I believe.
Oh, cool.
And I'd like to go. I've never seen them, Foo Fighters, live. And
That would be a good concert. So,
but it stinks because, like, it's already you know, the calendar's filling up so much. There's all sorts of great shows happening on top of each other. So, like, the same night, I really want to see Blackberry Smoke with the Almond Betts Band.
Okay.
At St. Louis Music Park.
Dang.
So I'm like, man, it's a tough call on which one. Where do I?
That's true.
So I love both. I've seen Blackberry Smoke, but I've never seen Foo Fighters. So that's one thing. But I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard that the Foo Fighters are a hell of a show to go see.
Yeah.
Like Dave supposedly gives just like 110. Excuse me, 110%.
Right. Yeah. Even that, like the whole thing when he was in the boot and on the throne and stuff. Right. I mean, like, it, nothing stops him, you know. He's like, yeah. So he gives it all. What's a song that always gets stuck in your head, Jeremy? What's the latest one that was stuck in your head? You woke up singing or something?
Tune by Frightened Rabbit. Backwards Walk. That's a tune that always comes back over and over and over.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a heavy tune, but it's always feels very applicable and like meaningful. I don't know. I was watching, so the Scott Hutchinson had passed away a few years ago. And they did a bunch of people remade the first record, or not the first record, their most famous record, Midnight Organ Fight, and they interviewed some people, and one of the interviews was Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie, who would also be a wonderful person to have for dinner. He was saying, he's like, the first time he listened to that band, Frightened Rabbit, he didn't say he felt like a kid, but he was giving the analogy of, like, when you're a child or when you're younger and you hear music, a lot of the times it's the first time you've ever heard anything like that. Mm-hmm. And you have this really strong connection to it. And I, like, when I heard Frightened Rabbit kind of as a younger adult, like, that is exactly how I felt. I was like, I have never heard anything like this, and it would kind of, it just blew me away. Like from the first moment I heard it, and I stole the music from the internet because we had to do that back then. But I was just like, this is incredible, and I continuously, like, I go through the catalog and find new songs and find new meaning in all the music that he has written. And then that tune in particular, especially in the past 2 years, has kind of hit me really hard and continuously kind of pops up over and over and over in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I know any Frightened Rabbit stuff. So
it's a wonderful band. It's, it's definitely it's heavy.
Yeah.
Not heavy as in like the like metal kind of thing, right. But just like thematically, there's a good word.
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot, like most of the, quite a bit of the stuff I listen to is kind of dark, depressing, and sad tunes.
100%.
And I,
it's the only way to go.
right. I like more positive, you know, stuff, but when and I consider myself in my personal life very happy, but like there's something about a songwriter just pouring it out in a song, in a story like that. I don't know. I really appreciate it. Like, sometimes telling my story or something, you know, I can relate to where I've been there in that situation and stuff, or something similar. I don't know. Those are always cool things. Like for me, like even though it's very difficult sometimes, it's you know, super sad situation, but it's something therapeutic about it and stuff. I've just never really been too much into the dancey pop stuff too much, and so
it's hit and miss.
Yeah.
I definitely can appreciate some of that stuff, and as like drummer brain, mm-hmm. some of that stuff is just like the pinnacle. Yeah, I mean, like the James Brown, the Stevie Wonder, the laundry list of things like that, and you're like it's awesome. It's super fun.
Oh yeah.
But my brain, when I'm listening to that stuff, always goes into drummer mode, into like, oh, this feels great. This is like pocket dance and like that kind of thing. Not that they didn't have sad songs for sure.
But yeah, I think it all has a time and place for, you know, there's like a lot of, I always kind of like look at it like as enhancers, you know, it's like when there's my Friday night, obviously I want to go out and have a good time. I'm going to listen to some more stuff like that and getting feeling right and stuff. But there's also a lot of times where, you just kind of want to be mellow and you listen to these sad songs sometimes or whatever. So
true.
You know, it's just, but yeah, there's one, I talked about it a lot, over the, wild, but Tyler Childers.
Love Tyler Childers.
Follow You to Virgie is like one that's like that really makes me think of my mom a lot, and it's pretty heavy on me for sure. Like, I don't know really what his story is behind the song or anything, but for me, like, that's where I connect it to and stuff, and it's like, so it always always gets me, makes me cry every time, pretty much, like, so. There was actually a weird moment the other night. So Allman Brothers' Soul Shine is another one that's kind of always been there. And it was like me and my mom used to go to Broadway Oyster Bar a lot together, and we would watch Sean Cannon's Voodoo Players Allman Brothers show. It was one of our favorites to go see down there. And my parents introduced me to Allman Brothers music, very young. So that's been a part of my life for a long time. And then, so it was cool to experience that with my mom as an adult and stuff. But Soul Shine was always a good sing along at the end of the night and feel good. And then when mom got sick, went through a benefit party for at Old Rock House, and I had the Scandaleros play, and that was one I requested them to do Soul Shine at the end of the night, and they did, and it was really a neat moment. And
that's awesome.
And then I went to Oyster Bar Saturday for my birthday and had dinner with my wife and mother-in-law, and over the house speakers I heard Soul Shine, and it was kind of a weird thing, and like, you know, it was like all songs that could have been played and stuff. Like, it was like it was a neat little moment there. So I don't know, it's kind of those little things like that are where a song can sometimes find you, you know. It's like it's cool. So
that is that is,
but whatever it is, like, you know, I never make fun of people for whatever it is they love or whatever that thing, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter, but people have, you know, these connections to certain songs for some reason. And, you know, whatever you love, you know, but
true.
Some people want to tease people for like liking something, certain music or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. Like, but
I used to be that. I hated country music for high school and stuff. Hated country music. Why? I don't know. Angsty teenager kind of thing. And now I have played in more country bands than I can like count, and played more country tunes than I know. Played a handful of like kind of country Americana tunes last night. So it's hard to you know, you'll find stuff in the most random places and the places you'll never think that you'd find something.
Yeah, I think I think it's especially country. I think so many people just look at it as like what's on the radio.
Yeah, and that's a little hard. Right. I mean, that can be a little tricky. Right. I definitely have some what is the right word? What is the word when you are like embarrassed to like a song?
Like guilty pleasure kind of stuff.
Yeah, like I have a few guilty pleasures of some tunes.
I mean, there's a reason they're popular. They're catchy and you know, but like there's just some of those are just super cheesy and you know, it's just, but at the same time, like I just there's so much more out there than what, you know, is and on your radio and stuff. Like there's country music has expanded so much more than whatever. Sure. Insert any name there, but
yeah, I would say like Neil from Old Souls, like he introduced me to John Prine, and that was just like you know, I'm not like the biggest John Prine fan, love his music, but haven't like dove too far into it. But that was like a definite moment of like, oh, look at that, like this is something. Mm-hmm. And then like and he's obviously a phenomenal songwriter, and you just like keep finding gems and gems and gems and gems.
Yeah, I'm kind of ashamed to say, but it's the way it was. I mean, like I don't know, like I knew him, knew his name, and so I knew he's great. Obviously, very well celebrated and stuff. But I never really did any kind of deep dive through his catalog, really until. I saw him live before he passed, in right before, like it was a couple months before he passed, over in Columbia, Missouri, at Roots and Blues. So I'm thankful that I did experience that. But I didn't really do more of the deep dive through some of his stuff until after he passed. And then I realized how great, you know, truly how great he was. But but that's because all my friends were sharing memories and stories of this song, what that meant to them, and all these different things after when as tributes and stuff to him, and and I started really in appreciating his music a lot more. So I kind of wish I had done it a lot sooner than I did. So
never better time to start than now.
Yeah, but this stinks when you. When you start really getting into somebody's art, you know, stuff, and but it's too late to go see it live and things. But that's the nice thing about the music; it lives on forever, though.
Mm-hmm. You never know. If I would have been introduced to John Prine, I don't know this for sure, but if you would have shown me John Prine at 16 years old, I don't know if I would have gotten it, and maybe that would have tainted the. I never would have taken the time to even down that road, because in my head there would have always been oh, I didn't like that kind of thing.
I mean, it's probably why I didn't really find it until I'm in my 30s. So it's same kind of thing. It's sometimes you have to live a certain amount of life to appreciate these things. You know, it's like the doesn't. Hearing these stories sometimes don't really apply to my life because I haven't lived that at all. So why would I want to listen to that? And so, or, you know, or something like I can't relate to that message or whatever it is. And stuff. And so, you know, that's not the case for everything, but it's I feel like that's a lot of it. Like it's more relatable when, once you've lived a certain amount of life, you can even movies, I feel like that too. Like I'll go back and rewatch movies as an adult now and stuff, and I'm like, man, I miss so much. And now I get so many other references or different things or whatever. And so, but yeah, so you just gotta live, you know, sometimes, I've also the same thing. I've listened to records as a kid and then gone back and listened to it as an adult. And then I felt like even that way a little bit with Childers at first. Not that it was a big difference, but first time I listened to him, I really didn't get it. I didn't really appreciate it much. I just mainly his voice, I guess, was something I kind of took me a while, an acquired taste kind of thing. Yeah. I listened to the I don't know. I was all right, but then I really got into listening to his songwriting, and that's where I became a big fan. And I'm like, the guy's a real master of the language and the words, and so that's always cool too, when you go, you're not afraid to give something a second try, you know. It's maybe I missed something here. So I think too many people are blow everything off, oh no, it's country, I don't like it, or whatever. It's you know, like you're saying, like this, just generalizing things,
and it's easy to do,
right?
It's easy to do. And I did it for a long, long time. Did it for a long, long time.
I guess that's growing up, though, you know?
True.
Not afraid to try something different, so. But yeah, man. Well, Jeremy, this has been a lot of fun, dude. I'm really glad we did this today.
And me too.
Getting to hang out, getting to show me. I feel like we should do like an episode of Cribs or something. You know? like
it'll be 2.5 seconds long. You'll like turn the camera, and then you'll see everything, and then we'll be like, "Hello, goodbye."
And this is where the magic happens.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. To build this, I watched a bunch of YouTube, and like a lot of people like lean into the fact that it's a small space, so they're like, oh, this is like the kitchen, this is the living room, the bedroom, and it's obviously 77 square feet. But like it's just always been funny to me where I'm like, I just don't understand how you make 15 minutes of content out of what is not a lot of like anything. I mean, really, like the build processes I get, but yeah, like people do tours of the van and I'm like, I mean, you could take a picture and anybody will get it. Right. Like they get it.
Yeah. That would be funny. You know, just you post your video and then it's just like you open the door. Here it is.
There it is.
two seconds. So that would be funny. But nah, this is impressive, man. I mean,
thank you.
I wouldn't even know where to begin to.
I didn't.
Yeah, right. But it's cool. Like, I mean, everything's here. You got your setup, you know, you got all your storage and like, it's cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited for you. Hopefully, you'll come back, sometime soon after you get to see some of the world and we'll throw down again another party.
Would love to do that.
Yeah.
Would love to do that.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm excited to hear what else comes out of from this project too, from Igor Death, and see what else what you guys are cooking up and stuff. So hopefully we'll get some more tunage.
Hopefully soon.
Soon. But thanks, buddy. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And good luck on your journey.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.